It has been destroyed.
I think it is more, another began. We could...
Sazed held up his hands, getting their attention. If preservation has not returned, then has perhaps someone else taken up his power to use in this fight? Is that not what your teachings say will happen? That which has been sundered must again begin to find its whole. Silence.
Perhaps, Haddock said.
Vin, Sazed thought, growing excited. This is what it means to be the hero of ages. I am right to believe. She can save us. Sazed took a piece of metal paper, beginning to scribble down his thoughts. At that moment, however, the doors to the trust warren burst open. Sazed paused, turning with a frown. A group of rock-boned fifth-generationers clumped into the room, followed by the willowy members of the second generation. Outside, the cavern hallway was empty of its earlier crowd.
"Take them," Kanpar said furtively, pointing.
"What is this?"
Haddock exclaimed. Sazed sat where he was, pen held in his fingers. He recognized the urgent, tense posture in the figures of the second generationers. Some looked frightened, others determined. The fifth generationers moved forward quickly, their movements enhanced by the blessing of potency.
"Kanpar,"
Haddock said,
"what is this?"
Sazed slowly stood up. Four fifth generationers came over to surround him, bearing hammers as weapons.
"It's a coup," Sazed said.
"You can no longer lead," Kanpar said to the first generation. "You would destroy what we have here, polluting our land with outsiders, letting the talk of revolutionaries cloud Khandra wisdom."
"This is not the time, Kanpar,"
Haddock said, the members of the first generation crying out as they were prodded and grappled.
"Not the time," Kanpar asked angrily. "You spoke of the resolution. Have you no idea the panic this has caused? You would destroy everything we have."
Sazed turned calmly, looking at Kanpar. Despite his angry tone, the Khandra was smiling slightly through translucent lips.
He had to strike now, Sazed thought, before the first generation said more to the common people, making the seconds redundant. Kanpar can stuff them all away somewhere and then prop up dummies in the alcoves.
Sazed reached for his pewter mind. One of the fifths snapped it away with a too quick grab of the hand, and two others took Sazed by the arms. He struggled, but his Khandra captors were inhumanly strong.
"Kanpar!"
Haddock yelled. The first's voice was surprisingly strong.
"You are of the second generation. You owe obedience to me. We created you."
Kanpar ignored him, directing his Khandra to bind the members of the first generation. The other seconds stood in a cluster behind him, looking increasingly apprehensive and shocked at what they were doing.
"The time for the resolution may indeed be here," Haddock said. "We must..."
He cut off as one of the fifths gagged him.
"That is exactly why I must take leadership," Kanpar said, shaking his head. "You are too unstable, old one. I will not trust the future of our people to a creature who could, at a whim, order them to kill themselves."
"You fear change," Sazed said, meeting the Khandra's eyes.
"I fear instability," Kanpar said. "I will make certain the Khandra people have a firm and immutable leadership."
"You make the same argument as many revolutionaries," Sazed said, "and I can see your concern. However, you must not do this thing. Your own prophecies are coming to a head. I understand now. Without the part the Khandra are to play, you could inadvertently cause the end of all things. Let me continue my research. Lock us in this room if you must, but do not—"
"Gag him,"
Kanpar said, turning. Sazed struggled, with no success, as his mouth was bound and he was pulled from the trust warren, leaving the Atium, the body of a god, behind and in the hands of traitors. I've always wondered about the strange ability allomancers have to pierce the mists. When one burned tin, he or she could see farther at night, looking through the mists. To the layman, this might seem like a logical connection. Tin, after all, enhances the senses. The logical mind, however, may find a puzzle in this ability. How exactly would tin let one see through the mists? As an obstruction, they are unconnected with the quality of one's eyesight. Both the nearsighted scholar and the long-sighted scout would have the same trouble seeing into the distance if there were a wall in the way. This, then, should have been our first clue. Allomancers could see through the mists because the mists were, indeed, composed of the very same power as allomancy. Once attuned by burning tin, the allomancer was almost part of the mists, and therefore they became more translucent to him.
76. Vin floated. She wasn't asleep, but she didn't quite feel awake either. She was disoriented, uncertain. Was she still lying in the broken courtyard of Creedic Shaw? Was she sleeping in her cabin aboard the narrowboat with Elland? Was she in her palace quarters back in Luthadel, the city under siege? Was she in Clubs's shop, worried and confused by the kindness of this strange new crew? Was she huddled in an alleyway, crying, back hurting from another of Reen's beatings? She felt about her, trying to make sense of her surroundings. Her arms and legs didn't seem to work. In fact, she couldn't even really focus on them. The longer she floated, however, the clearer her vision became. She was in Luthadel, after killing the Inquisitors. Why couldn't she feel anything? She tried to reach down to push herself to her knees, but the ground seemed strangely far away, and she saw no arms in front of her. She just continued to float. I'm dead, she thought. Even as that occurred to her, she woke up a bit more. She could see, though it was as if she looked through a very blurry, distorting pane of glass. She felt a power buzzing within her, a strength unlike that of limbs, but somehow more versatile. She managed to turn, getting a sweeping view of the city, and halfway through her turn, she came face to face with something dark. She couldn't tell how far away it was.